Welcome to Crossroads. My name is Lena Schuler, and I'm the Crossroads Anywhere Community Pastor. And I'm so glad to be with you from wherever you may be joining us from today. Coffee shops, homes, theaters, it's great to be with you. We are in our series right now called The New Mind, where we're focusing on our minds in 2019, because we know that where our minds go, we will go this year. And so as we dive into that, we're gonna spend some time worshiping together. And as we worship together, these are just prayers put to song. Songs about God and songs to God. And so if you don't fully believe these yet, these words yet, that is totally okay. I would just encourage you to ask God to help you believe these words a little bit deeper as we sing them.
Well, hey, Crossroads. My name is Justin. I'm one of the worship leaders around here, and we are glad you're here. If you're with us in this space, or if you're joining us from your home, online, wherever you are, you're in the right place. So we're in week 3 of talking about a new mind, and we're going to start our time together by pointing our mind and our hearts to our King. So why don't you join us? Sing loud with us, all right? Our God, a firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground. As nations rise and fall, kingdoms once strong, now shaken. We trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus.
God, we lift you higher. From my mother's womb,
sing this one.
Well, surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me. Will follow me. Try it out. Surely love and mercy, and your peace and kindness will follow me. Will follow me. And surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me. Will follow me. And surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me. Will follow me.
Yes, they will, God. Father, we praise you because those words are true. That I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of yours. That is my identity. And every day you wake me up to that new reality. My mind is being transformed into that new identity because of you. Because you are worthy of our worship and praise. That's why we sing to you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for rescuing us and setting us free. We pray all this because of who you are, Jesus. We all said together, amen. That's great stuff. Thanks for worshiping with us. Yeah. Make this place feel a little smaller as you take your jacket off, get comfortable, turn around and greet somebody, all right?
Football, football, football. You won't want to miss football.
If you come to the Crossroads Football Super Bowl service, you'll have fun, see football, eat food, and watch football. Football consumption is recommended in high football doses, no matter age or gender. Football. Warning, may not contain football.
Football, football, football. The Super Bowl of preaching is coming up Super Bowl weekend. We said, what would it look like to make Super Bowl weekend the most attended, most fun, most exciting weekend we have at Crossroads all year long? And this is a great, great, great weekend for you to maybe test out hosting a gathering where people watch the Crossroads experience together. It's a great pregame show to the actual Super Bowl. So if you're already having a Super Bowl party, tag this on to the beginning of it and introduce some of your friends and neighbors and coworkers into the church that you're part of, that you watch week in and week out. And if you are going to host, we would love to know that you're hosting a Super Bowl party with the Super Bowl of Preaching. You can go to crossroads.net, click on the chat button, and let us know that you're hosting and you want some tips and help and resourcing, because we want to help you make that experience a little more fun, a little more Crossroadsy in your home. And if you are not in a group right now, but you're thinking, man, I want that. I want ongoing connection with other people, relationship with other people, where I'm digging in to what's happening in my life and maybe what God might have in store for me. If that's you, you could always join a group, or better yet, you could start a group. If you want to become a group leader, you could do that by going and chatting with people on crossroads.net in the chat box, and they'll let you know how to get started in that. One of the great things that's happening coming up here shortly is that we're actually going to be pulling our group leaders together from all over the country to experience some training and resourcing and relationship with one another digitally. And so if you've been hosting a group for a while, or you're just about to get started, there is a great opportunity coming up for you to meet some other group leaders around the country digitally and share some celebrations and best practices and challenges with one another. And so if you want to chat with our community care team on the website, they'll let you know what that is and how to get started there. Now, we are a team that goes all over the world to experience God in fresh ways and to experience different cultures and relationship with people who are very different than us. And if you want to go on an adventure this year, you want to experience God in a fresh way, you want to connect with people who are part of our church from all over the country and go across the world with them, you can find out more about all of our go trips at crossroads.net/go and see when the trips are going to Nicaragua, South Africa, Bolivia, just new this year, Puerto Rico, and more. So head to the website to get more information and get some of your questions answered on what it might look like for you to go. Now, not only are we a team that goes, but we're a team that gives, because we believe that God wants to do a unique and powerful work in our friends and our family through the church. So if you want to give, you can do that by going to crossroads.net/give. And we're heading into week 3 of the New Mind series that we're in right now. And before we jump in there, check out what it might look like for you to go this year.
Going on a go trip to South Africa was my first time out of the country.
My go trip to NOLA wrecked me in all the best ways.
I took my family on an adventure to Nicaragua.
My experience on a go trip to Nepal pulled me closer to the Holy Spirit.
I stepped out of my comfort zone and met God in a very real way.
I learned more about my kids who love generously, climbed volcanoes, and weren't afraid to try new and exciting things.
I met my husband on that trip.
I got baptized in a swimming pool in Nepal.
I left all the self-hatred in the water. I will always live in the truth that I am beautiful.
Go Mumbai forced me to reshape how I viewed the world.
Left me feeling more freedom, joy, and gratitude for life.
It was a gift to meet the child we sponsor.
I got to worship my heart out under the stars in South Africa.
I rented an off-road mountain bike and had an incredible encounter with God.
And I returned home changed.
I just got back from a go trip. I actually was in Haiti last week and had an incredible experience there. And it really ties to what I want to talk about today, which is how to overcome fear. So let me pray and then we'll jump in. God, I thank you so much for all the ways that you have enabled us as a community to serve, to be a part of what you're doing in the world. And God, I know that fear would want to keep all of us from going to the places that you call us to go. Fear would want to keep us from being the people you've called us to be right here where we live. Fear would call us to not want to be in the places around the world that maybe you're calling us to go. So I just pray that today, God, you would come against fear with your truth, with your presence, and that you would use this time to help us all experience and move toward your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it was a really good experience going to Haiti. I'd never been there before. And I have to admit, I had two fears going on this trip. The first fear was that I was going to eat some food that was going to make me sick. I went to India a couple years ago, and I got so sick in India that it was really bad. And you know it's bad when you're like in the middle of nowhere in India and you're struggling with like GI stuff, and the people say, you're really sick, but the last thing we want to do is take you to a hospital. So like that was really not a comfortable place to be. Thank God I got through that. But I had that in the back of my mind as I was thinking about going to Haiti. The other thing that I had was, last time I went on a big trip like that was in Colorado. That was an adventure I had. And I ended up with a broken foot on the other side of that. So my other fear was I'm going to get injured. So I was going into this trip excited, but also like, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get injured. And so one of the things we did while I was there is we would build latrines for families that didn't have a place literally to think about it, what you need a latrine for, right? So we were there and we were building it, and you're using sheet metal and it's prefab. And I got to a point where I needed to kind of tighten the screw, and it just, like, I couldn't get the grip on the wrench that I needed without taking my glove off. So I took my glove off. Not smart. And sure enough, I'm doing it, all goes well. And as I'm kind of coming out, I felt it, scratched myself. It wasn't a really bad cut, but I'm in the middle of Haiti. And so thank God for technology. Thank God for a doctor who is a part of this community who gave me his cell phone number. And so I called my doc and I said, can you tell me when my last tetanus shot was? And I was good. So I was like, all right, I'm going to stay. I'm good. So overcame that fear. But one of the other cool things that happened when I was over in Haiti is I got to meet this woman. Her name is Eleanor Turnbull. She is 94 years young, and I do mean young. And 74 years ago in 1946, her and her husband answered God's call to be missionaries in Haiti. And it was incredible to spend time with this woman. This woman and her husband have started over 350 churches in the country of Haiti over the course of their ministry. Just unbelievable fruit that they've experienced. And when they went to Haiti, it was really negligible in terms of the percentage of people who would say they follow Jesus. And now it's at 50%. It's at 50%. And you know what her husband said? He said, hey, we spent 74 years getting to 50%. Now it's time to get the other half of them. I mean, these are people who are passionate about who Jesus called them to be. And when you spend time with Eleanor, she exudes the peace of God. She exudes the peace of God. She's clearly praying here for me to lose some weight. I think that's why she has her hand on my stomach. May it be so, Eleanor, may it be so. Man, it was really, really awesome to spend time with her. And the thing that I walked away with is so often we can think, well, that's a spiritual hero. And you know what? In many ways, she is. But I want you to know that God wants you to exude the same peace that Eleanor has. God wants you to walk in the same peace, to be able to overcome fear and live in peace in the same way that she did. In fact, there's a promise to that end in the book of Isaiah. It says this, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. We're talking about a new mind in this series because he trusts in you. Friends, the enemy of your peace is fear. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that everybody listening to the sound of my voice right now, that you have a battle with fear in your life. And if you're willing to admit that, to own it, and to actually lean into what I'm talking about today, I believe God can bring you to a place where you exude peace instead of being bound by fear. Now, I know some of us in here have been working on fear a long time. Some of us in here or who are watching, man, we've overcome a lot of fears. But I know that there are some of us who are in a prison of fear. And if 2019 is going to be different, it's going to be because God came into that prison of fear and set you free. And I believe he wants to do that for you. And I want to talk about how that happens. 2 Timothy 1:7 starts by saying, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And I want to be very clear in saying fear is a normal human response to real threat. So when I talk about coming against fear, I'm not talking about coming against the normal fear that God has hardwired into us. If you're in the middle of a street and there is a fast car approaching you, you should be afraid, and that should cause your muscles to move quicker to get out of that car's way. That's normal, right? That's healthy. Fear is an early alarm system that helped humanity survive up to this point. Fear of darkness, fear of pain. You know what? Fear can even be a creative force in some ways. If you have a fear of ignorance, it may motivate you to learn. And that's a good thing. So I'm not talking about that. And I don't think the Bible's talking about that. There is a difference between fear that's a normal human mechanism and the spirit of fear. And what the Bible says, what God says, is he didn't give you and I a spirit of fear. A friend of mine, Paul Hagen, he's an executive coach. And he talks about the fear vortex. And I think it's a helpful way for us to understand the difference between normal fear and the spirit of fear. The fear vortex goes like this. There are underlying latent fears that we all have. All of us have lies we believe or things that have shaped our lives, things that have been blown out of proportion. And we have these underlying latent fears. And what happens is, all we go through our lives and there's a trigger. And when that trigger arises, we say, aha, aha, I told you I should be afraid. That's why I don't trust anybody. That's why I'll never do this. That's why I always do that. When you start to hear that kind of language, oftentimes not based on reality, that's a good sign that maybe that's a place in our life where fear, the spirit of fear, is trying to break in. And then what happens is you dwell on that, you begin to be a worst case scenario kind of person. You know, you're sitting in a room, if you get a text from your spouse, significant other, if you get a text from your roommate and it says, hey, can we talk tonight? Do you immediately go to the worst case scenario? Oh man, what happened now, right? That's the spirit of fear. You're at work and the boss calls you into their office. Are you like, oh gosh, what did I mess up now? Like that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of thing. And here's the thing. This continues to escalate when we allow the spirit of fear to drive our lives. And in fact, can get to the point where, and this is kind of crazy, but it's true, where we begin to look for information in the outside world that validates our fears. This is how you get marketed to every day. right? And I'm telling you, that spirit of fear is not of God. That is not what God has for you. And listen, if we're not willing to admit that and face that, if all we do is continue to validate these fears that are underlying latent but may not be based on reality, we will never experience change. You'll never do anything outside of your comfort zone. You'll never step into an uncomfortable situation that could be exactly what you need to grow. We will never experience what God has for us if we can't deal with and overcome the spirit of fear. And God wants you to do that. But make no mistake, the spirit of fear is the way of the world. The system of this world is designed to make us fear. You know, sometimes art imitates reality, and right now there's a piece of art that millions and millions of us are watching, and I think it has something to tell us about fear. It's Bird Box. How many people have watched Bird Box on Netflix, right? I mean, it's like everybody's been watching this movie. And without getting into all the details of the movie, just make it, for if you don't know anything about Bird Box, if you've been living under a rock and you don't know anything about this movie, in essence, people have these blindfolds on because if they open their eyes, crazy things happen and they don't want to be exposed to the crazy things. I'll just leave it at that. And just say, man, there's something though about this movie that I think connects to the way fear works in our lives. It's a powerful metaphor for fear because here's how fear works. Fear distracts you and I. It distracts you. It's that voice in your head that says, it's always going to be the worst case scenario. It's that voice in your head that says, you can't trust anybody. And that voice in your head is distracting. It's distracting in your relationships. It's distracting as you go through the things God's called you to do. It's distracting when you're in challenge or conflict. That voice of fear distracts us. And then what it begins to do is isolate us. Because I don't know if you're anything like most people, but most people, we don't just lead in a conversation by saying, hi, I'm Chuck. Let me tell you the things I'm afraid of. We hide that. And when we hide our fears, we begin to think of the people around. Now, nobody else struggles with this, but this is my struggle, and I got to kind of keep this pet fear to myself and not share it. That's what fear does. It isolates us. And then in that place of isolation, fear lies to us. Friends, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. And it comes from Satan, who is the father of lies, as the Bible says. And it lies to us, and it begins to impact our lives. You know, this weekend, many of us are going to be off of work on Monday because it's Martin Luther King holiday. I don't know if you know this or not. There is a black preacher fraternity, and one of the things I have to do to keep my membership active is quote Martin Luther King at least once this weekend. So I'm gonna get one in right now because I love what Martin Luther King said about fear. He wrote a message about fear. He said, like fire, it is a useful and necessary servant, but a ruinous master. It is fear when it becomes terror, panic, and chronic anxiety that we must seek to eliminate. And I just wonder for some of us if that fear that we dress up and make look responsible is actually becoming a master in our lives. Because none of us say we're afraid. We don't come out with that. No, we say things like, no, I'm just a little stressed. We say, no, I'm just being a realist. We say, no, I'm just guarded around people. We say, no, I'm just cautious. I'm a planner. And I'm telling you, those are all the ways we dress up this thing called fear and make it responsible. And when we do that, fear becomes a slave master. And that is not what fear should be in your life. And so we have to be willing to admit where fear is the pattern of this world and how maybe that pattern of the world is trying to conform us into its image. But God wants to transform you to a person who exudes peace. You know, we're in the dojo. We got this kind of martial arts theme going, and there's a term in karate and in martial arts called kata, K-A-T-A. And it's basically, here's a definition of it, it's a set combination of positions or moves that kind of give you the muscle memory you need when you're practicing kata. We've got some video of it just to give you a sense of it. We've probably all seen this. It's the thing that the team is doing together when they're all moving in sync. And that's not necessarily what you do when you're fighting someone, but those are the kind of moves that set you up with muscle memory that you need when you are facing an opponent. And I believe that God wants us to have a spiritual kata to overcome fear. And I believe the Bible actually has in there a formula, a way that you and I can exude peace and overcome fear. I'm going to give you the formula. The formula is P plus G times C equals peace. P plus G times C equals peace. Yes, I used to work for P&G, so it was nice to kind of put that into a formula. P plus G times C equals peace. Where do I get that from? Not from P&G. I actually get that from a letter in the New Testament called the Book of Philippians. And Paul wrote in this letter about how we overcome fear. Let me read it to you. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And I'm reading from the Message. It's kind of a modern translation. It says, "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life." Man, do you want that? Do you want Christ to displace worry at the center? Who wants that? I want that. And I want you to know that's what God wants for you too. Did you know that praying actually uses the same mental capacity as worrying? If you can worry, you can pray. You should feel really encouraged by that. If you have the ability to worry, and let's be honest, we've got great ability to worry in here, right? If you've got the ability to worry, you've got the ability to pray. Martin Luther King, second quote from him, put it this way. He said, "Fear always involves the misuse of imagination." Dang, that man could preach, I'm telling you. Fear involves the misuse of imagination. What he's saying there is it's the same mechanism, the same imaginative mechanism that enabled humanity to find a way to take pounds and tons of metal and put it in the sky to fly from one place to another, our imagination. The same imaginative mechanism that enabled us to build buildings that can be unbelievable in terms of their beauty and their strength. The same mechanism in our mind that has enabled us to come up with all kinds of breakthroughs in healthcare that enable the human body to thrive. That same mechanism, our imagination, is what we are misusing when we worry. And what the Bible wants us to see is that if we would take that mechanism and instead of worrying, start praying, then we move toward peace. We move toward peace. It's really interesting. The word for worry in the Greek is the word merimnate. Merimnate is the word for worry. And it's really interesting. It literally means to be in pieces. So when the Bible uses the word anxious or anxiety, it's a word that in the Greek language meant to be in pieces. And isn't that exactly what worrying does? When we worry, our mind is in pieces. When I'm worrying and fearful, I'm not able to coordinate my thoughts to actually take a step forward. I'm stuck. I get paralyzed, or I begin to react to all kinds of different pieces, and there's no kind of uniform way that I'm walking through that. And so the Bible is saying, instead of your mind being in pieces, when you pray, God gives you his peace. He begins to give you his peace when you turn your worrying into praying. Well, how do you pray? How do you pray? I mean, that's obviously a whole series in and of itself, but I love what this verse tells us. I mean, in essence, this verse says prayer is nothing more than simply being still, telling God the things that are on your mind that are causing you to worry, and then being in a place where he can speak to you about those things. That's what prayer is. It's that simple. It's that simple. And yet, it is powerful because it leads to what this verse says is the peace of God. And friends, let me tell you, the peace of God is supernatural peace. Supernatural because it's not defined by your circumstances. Your circumstances do not need to change in order for you to experience the peace of God. That's amazing. Things can still be going wrong. Things can still be difficult. Life can still be challenging. And yet you can have a peace, as this says, that surpasses understanding. It's a supernatural peace. It's also super logical. And when I say that, I don't mean to say that it's illogical, because it's not illogical to trust that a kind, powerful, and loving God is in control, even if it looks like things are out of control. But it's super logical in that it surpasses our understanding. And then finally, this kind of peace can guard your mind. It can guard your mind. That's actually a military term. And what it means is when you are taking those worries and transferring them to prayer, what happens is God begins to guard your mind with his peace. And what that means is God begins to take everything that is inconsistent with reality, everything that's inconsistent with his truth, and he doesn't allow it to penetrate your mind. And instead, what is allowed to pass through is what is true, what is real, where there is hope. This is the kind of peace that God wants for you and for me. And it's the kind of peace that helps us overcome fear. So how do we walk in it? P plus G. Times C equals peace, where the P is prayer. The P is prayer. The P is petitions and praises being offered to God. I don't know if your kids are like this. If you have kids or even if they're older, they're probably still like this to some degree. I realized, and this is an old comedy bit I heard, I realized that when I had kids, my name didn't just change to Dad. I did get to begin to be called Dad. But I don't know if your kids are like mine. My name then got changed from Dad to Dad, can I? Anybody with me on that? Right? Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have that? Dad, can I go here? Dad, can I have a couple dollars to get this thing that I want? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? And I realized, like, oh, my name got changed. My kids don't have any qualms about asking me for anything. It doesn't matter if I just said no. They will ask again. They don't care. They don't have any qualms about coming to their father and asking for what they want. I've learned this in my house. I don't know if this is true in yours. I've learned that even if my children just finished eating a full nutritious meal in my presence, when I sit down to eat my full nutritious meal, my kids will say, Dad, can I have a bite of that? Dad, can I have, does anybody else's kids do that? Like, that's just what they do. They don't have any qualms about doing that. And here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing. I used to think that spiritual maturity was getting to a point that when worry came in my life, I was able to just kind of stand back from it and be independent of God and say, Dad, God, I'm good. I'm not even going to worry about that. Well, that doesn't work for me. Maybe that works for you. But what I realized is spiritual maturity is not that. Spiritual maturity, when it comes to overcoming fear, is defined by the short period of time from which you experience the worry, turn around, and face your father and say, Dad, can I get your help with this? Dad, can you help me with this? Dad, can you give me peace? Dad, can you give me insight on this? And that's what God wants. And so he wants us to pray. He wants FaceTime with you. God wants you to bring your worries to him. It says, in everything, you can pray. And that's the P. The G is gratitude. The G is gratitude. Gratitude is perhaps the most powerful tool we have against fear. Because gratitude reminds us of the ways that God is faithful. Gratitude reminds us of the ways that God is good. And gratitude comes against the voice of the enemy, the voice of fear, that spirit of fear that says, God is not good. God has forgotten you. And gratitudes are a powerful way for us to come against that voice. Fear is the ultimate spin master. Have you noticed that? Fear spins the reality. Fear makes it seem like it's just more extreme than it really is. There's a spin factor, and I just find in my life, gratitude is a great way to ground me once again in the truth. Ground me once again in the goodness of God. Because friends, you can either listen to your mind or you can preach to your mind. And I want to tell you that God enables you through his spirit to preach to your mind. King David wrote a lot of the book that we find in the Old Testament as the book of Psalms. And I love how David preached to his heart, how he preached to his mind. One of the places he does this is in Psalm 42. David says to his heart, his soul, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? And what does he say to his soul? Hope in God. He preaches to himself, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. David's preaching to his heart. And I'm telling you, you gotta be able to preach to your heart. You gotta be able to preach truth to your heart when fear is trying to speak lies to your heart. In Psalm 103, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's instructing his soul to bless the Lord. How? By forgetting not all his benefits. And David begins to list gratitudes. He begins to list the things that he's thankful for. One of the cool gifts I got for Christmas is this thing right here. It's called the Monk Manual. The Monk Manual. Now, if you know anything about me, you may know that this is like totally up my alley because it combines two of my loves. I love like monk-like things. I like to go on prayer retreats and kind of do the things that monks do. I really dig that. And then on the other side, I love to plan. So for me to have a planner slash journal slash monk-like thing in one, this was a great Christmas gift for me. So I've been digging this thing, and one of the things I love about it is it's kind of, you know, you map out your month, and then you kind of map out your week, and you map out each day with a theme. And across all of those, there's the opportunity to be grateful. Every day, as you reflect on the day that was, one of the questions is, what are three things you're grateful for? What are three things to be thankful for? Man, I'm just always blown away by how powerful the weapon of gratitude is against fear in my life. And I think that's why in Philippians it says, with praises, which would include gratitude, and petitions, which would include asking, we experience the peace of God through prayer. So the P is prayer, the G is gratitude, the C is in Christ. Is in Christ we overcome fear. Let me read again Philippians 4, 6 through 7 from a different translation. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know how many times the word Christian is used in the Bible? I mean, that's a phrase that we use for people, or a term that we use for people who follow Jesus. The word Christian shows up in the Bible 3 times. But this phrase, in Christ, shows up 164 times. Because the Bible wants to make it very clear that what it means to be a Christian is what John Stott puts this way. John Stott said it, he said, it's the personal relationship with Christ that is the distinctive mark of his authentic followers. And so friends, I want you to know, what Jesus offers us is not just helpful principles. Jesus wants to be in relationship with you, walking with you through your fear. And as you are in relationship with him, you will experience the peace that comes in Christ. There's a story told about an oration contest among preachers. And this oration contest included preachers of different levels of experience and tenure and denominations and all of that. And it was all around who had the most compelling reading of Psalm 23. A very familiar psalm that maybe you've heard of. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. That psalm that many of us are familiar with, maybe we've heard it somewhere before. And so this competition was gathering all of these great orators, and there was a young preacher who was there, like a young, incredibly articulate, powerful communicating preacher, like me, you know, someone like me. And this preacher got up and did his thing. I mean, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Friends, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. I mean, he was bringing it, right? He was doing his thing. And so everybody's like clapping at the end of his. It's like, man, who's going to top that? And so other people came and they said the psalm. And then at the end, this really old preacher who could barely get up and stand up at the podium, he was the last one to go. And he had a weak voice because he was old and he didn't have the energy that he once had in his youth. But he stood there and he said to the crowd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. And even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. And he finished by saying, surely his goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, brief though they may be. And after that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there was a hush over the crowd. And everybody was moved to tears. And he won the contest. And afterwards, somebody asked, well, what was it? What? I can't put my finger on what it was. And they went to the young, dynamic preacher, and they asked him, why do you think it was that that was such a compelling reading of Psalm 23? And the young, dynamic preacher said, friend, you need to understand, I know the psalm. I know Psalm 23. But that preacher up there, he knows the shepherd. He knows the shepherd. And I'm telling you, if you want to experience peace, the kind of peace that is supernatural, the kind of peace that is super logical, the kind of peace that guards your heart and minds, it is not enough to know helpful principles. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to have a relationship with him, and he wants to have relationship with you. He wants to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death so you can fear no evil. He wants to be with you in the times when worry comes, and as you turn your worries to prayer, you get the sense that Jesus is right there next to you saying, I hear you, and I am with you, and where you can't walk yourself, I will carry you through this fear. Friends, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Because this would all be for naught to talk about a new mind. It would all be for naught to talk about transformation if you are not in a place of experiencing what Jesus has for you. See, there is good news in knowing Jesus Christ. This thing called the gospel of Jesus Christ has a past reality to it, there's a future reality to it, and there's a present reality to it. The past reality is this, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus actually lived. God came in human form, and when he came, his primary purpose was to die in your place. And because of his death, you and I can receive forgiveness of sin. Man, that is the beautiful past thing that he has done for you. And there is a future reality that we look forward to with hope in the difficulty of this life, that once Jesus rose again, he enacted a new world that is actually being birthed in the middle of this one. And one day he will return again, and everyone who has put faith in him will experience that new reality and a new body and a new place where there are no tears, where there's nothing to be afraid of. That's the future reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is awesome. It is good news. But don't miss the present reality. Don't miss that right now, in the middle of your fears, Jesus will be with you. He will never leave you. He will be a good shepherd to you. He will walk with you through your fears. And friends, you are missing it if you are not experiencing the present peace that the Prince of Peace wants to bring to you. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? Because he wants to know you. And he wants to walk with you through your fears. He wants to walk with you so you can experience his peace. Eleanor Turnbull, 94 years old, in the hills of Haiti, said something to me about this present reality of Jesus. And I took notes on her. She said, "The greatest thing God has ever done for me is forgive my sin. He forgave who I am. He forgave what I am. And gave me an awareness, the reality, awareness of his abiding presence." And that's what takes us through. The reality that Jesus is here. It's not going to be, it's not was, it's not will be the reality that Jesus is here. When you pray with gratitude in Christ, you begin to experience a peace that passes all understanding. So don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So I want to ask you, what is the thing that you fear? I want you to name it. What's that fear that sits at the middle of your life, the thing that robs you of peace, that fear that keeps you from experiencing hope? What is the thing that keeps you in pieces in your mind? I want you to name that fear. Be honest about it. Face it. And I want you to know that what God says to you in that place of fear, to me in that place of fear, because you know what mine are? Mine include that fear of injury. They include the fear of failure. I'm afraid of giving up control. And what God says to me and what he says to you in that place of fear is to be still. And know that I am God. Be still. And don't be in pieces. Trust that I will walk with you through that fear. Be still and pray. Bring your praises and your petitions to me. Ask me for what you want. Be still and remember with gratitude the ways that I've been faithful in the past. Be still and abide in the vibrant, life-giving relationship that I offer you through my son, Jesus. And as you do that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So we're going to sing a new song. And this new song is basically a way for us to pray into peace. It has those words, be still and know. And you know, for some of us, as we hear these words, it's going to be a challenge to just not argue with these words, because there's a part of us that just is like, I don't know if I can believe that. You know, last week, we had a really incredible thing happen. We had folks that were all up at the front at every location and even online via chat that were praying, encouraging prayers for people. People would come up and say, I want a new mind in this area, and someone would pray for them. And we said, man, that was so powerful. What if we did that with fear, that fear that you just named? What if we just said, hey, you know what? We don't have all the people that we had last week, but if you're in a place right now where you're like, I want someone to pray with me about that, then at the end of the service, you could just stay in your seat, and we've got a prayer team. They'd love to come with you, and you can just tell them, name the fear to them. Say, I'm afraid of this, and let them just pray a blessing over you that you would experience peace and the presence of God in that area. If you want that at every location, you can stay where you are. They'd love to pray for you. If you're online, you can chat in and someone will pray for you where you are. Because God wants to give us peace. For some of us, it may be a struggle. For others of us, this song is a declaration of what we want to be true. And we are willing to lean into these words and say, I'm not there yet, but I want to move in this direction of trusting you, God, and not letting fear be my master. For others of us, maybe this is a celebration as we look back and say, man, God's freed me of some fears, and I can be thankful for that. Wherever you are, God wants to be present in your life, and he wants to bring you peace. So God, I pray that in all of our locations as we sing this song, that you would just draw closer to us. You know the fear. You know that thing that threatens the peace in our life. And you want us to be still and trust you in that place. I pray that we would as we receive these words sung over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord is in control. Be still, my soul. Stand and watch as giants fall. I won't be afraid, for you are here. You silence all my fears. Won't be afraid, you don't let go. Be still my heart and know I won't be afraid. Be still and trust. What the Lord has said is done. If I rest, don't strive. Watch his faith and grace align. I won't be afraid, for you are here. You silence all my fears. I won't be afraid, you don't let go. Be still my heart and know I won't be afraid.
Just stand and sing this part with us. Sing this promise.
Follow me, surely love.
Thanks for joining us. Remember, if you ever want to connect with us at Crossroads, if you want to figure out what your next step might be, the way for you to get plugged in and connected with other people from wherever you might be in the country, you can go to crossroads.net and chat with us. We would love to help you take your next step. And we will see you back next week for week 4 of The New Mind.